Well, God is the best teacher that has ever existed, and one of the things I love about the Bible is it's one long story of what God is doing in the world. And because God knows that we learn best through stories, He has made certain things happen in history that explain really important concepts and ideas to us. And as we look at the stories unfolding, that helps us to understand our own life and our relationship with God. And so that's why we've taken this story from over 1,000 years before the events of Easter, and we're seeing how God actually put some clues in that story about what He would do through Jesus at Easter time. So let's just go over the story and just, I guess, get the big picture of what God was doing on this occasion. And then we're going to see what that means for us as people who are celebrating Easter and what that means for our lives today. Now, as Jamin mentioned, the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt. They weren't free to do what they wanted to do. They weren't free to enjoy doing the things that God created them to do. They were under the control of somebody called Pharaoh. And they had to do what Pharaoh wanted them to do, which was, you know, slaving away, making bricks, building cities, and so on. God wanted to free His people from being in a position of slavery. So He sent Moses, and Pharaoh did not want to let the people go. And you might remember the story. God sent 10 plagues. And eventually, after the 10th plague, Pharaoh said, "All right, you can go off and worship your God." And so the people of Israel left Egypt, and then Pharaoh changed his mind and he sent his army out after them, because even though they had suffered as God taught Pharaoh that he needed to let the people go, Pharaoh was kind of really determined to keep these people in bondage and in slavery and control everything they did. So he sent his army after them, and the people of Israel were trapped between Pharaoh's army on the one side and the Red Sea on the other, and they could not get through. The Red Sea was even wider than the Jordan River, not as fast flowing, but still impossible to get across. So what would happen? Many of you know what God did next. He opened a path through the sea, and the people of Israel were able to go through. And then when Pharaoh's army wanted to chase them down, God closed up those waters so that the Pharaoh's army was destroyed. They couldn't bring the people back into slavery in Egypt. God's people were free. Then God took them to another place, a place called Mount Sinai. You see, for generations, the Israelites had lived as slaves. That's all they knew, that was being in slavery in Egypt. And God had to teach them now how to live as free people, how to live by God's good ways. So He took them to Mount Sinai and He gave Moses lots of instructions about how the people should live as people who are free now to enjoy God and enjoy living in God's good ways. And one of the instructions that Moses was given was how to build this special box called the Ark of the Covenant. And it's called the Ark of the Covenant because an agreement was made at Mount Sinai where God said to the people, "I am going to go with you and I'll protect you and I will provide for you. I will look after you." That was God's promise to them. But they also made a promise to God that they would live by the ways He gave them, that they wouldn't do the same sorts of things they did while they were slaves in Egypt, and they wouldn't follow the customs that they learnt in Egypt. They would actually live by God's good laws. And so a copy of those laws that God Himself gave Moses was placed inside that special box, inside the Ark of the Covenant. And so they left that place having this agreement in place that they would obey God and live by His ways, and God would be with them, protect them, and provide for them. And He would take them to a really brilliant home for them to live in. Whoops. As they were on their way to this wonderful place that God had promised, though, they sent some people ahead of them just to check out the land, and they found that there were some powerful enemies that had already moved into this wonderful land that God had promised them. And the people became very upset and scared by this, and they doubted that God had the ability to bring them safely into this new land that He had promised them. So they didn't obey God, and they didn't go into the land that God had promised to give them and told them to go into. And as a result, they ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. They saw obstacles too tough for them to overcome. They didn't trust God to do what He promised to do. And so for 40 long years, they were wandering around in the wilderness. And God was still with them. He was still looking after them. But they weren't enjoying the blessings of the beautiful land that God had wanted to give them. But finally, God took them back. And we heard the story about how they had to cross over the Jordan River in order to get into the promised land. And again, God's reminding them that He can do for them what they cannot do for themselves. He's the one who is going to bring them into life and the wonderful life that he had always planned to give them. They had learnt when they were slaves in Egypt, they were powerless to stop being slaves. Pharaoh was too strong for them. It was God's power that saved them. They had learnt as they came into the promised land, they couldn't get across that river by themselves, but it was God's power that got them across that river. They're learning to live by God's power. And that's what I would like to ask us today. Do we know what it's like to live with the presence of God in our lives and the power of God at work for us? You see, when Jesus came to earth, he taught us and showed us how to live free of sin. It's a bit like the Israelites back in Egypt when they were in slavery. They didn't have a choice. They had to do what Pharaoh told them to do, and it wasn't a great life. Well, sin is like Pharaoh in our lives. Because of the sin that's within us, we do things that we wish we didn't do, but sometimes we find ourselves doing those things. And those things not only displease God, but they hurt other people and they hurt us. And we wish we didn't do that stuff, but we're kind of ourselves doing it over and over again. It's like it's too hard for us to live the good life that God has told us how to live. And when Jesus came into this world, he taught us and he showed us how to live as children of God. He showed us a perfect life. But even now that we've seen that, it's a bit like being on the banks of the Jordan and looking across into the promised land and seeing how good it is and wishing we could get there, but we can't. And that's like just listening to Jesus and wanting to live like Jesus. We can't actually do it on our own. But on Friday, we remembered how Jesus died to take the punishment for our sins so that we could be welcomed into God's family. And because of that, God is able to come and live inside us. And because he's present with us, he gives us the power to do what we could not do on our own. It's just like God, whose presence was symbolized by that special box, was able to go ahead of the Israelites and do for them what they couldn't do on their own. When God comes and lives in us through his Holy Spirit, we are able then to do what we cannot do on our own. And Friday reminds us what it took for God to be able to come and live inside us. Jesus had to pay the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven and welcomed into God's family. But Resurrection Sunday is the second part of that story because it reminds us that the same power that brought Jesus up out of the grave is the power that he is placing inside us to live the kind of life that would be impossible if we did not have his help. When we read in the New Testament about how Jesus lived and how God wants us to live, it seems way too hard for us. Can I love like Jesus? Can I serve like Jesus? Can I forgive like Jesus? Can I stand up against evil the way Jesus did? Or can I pray like Jesus or trust God as well as Jesus did? Can I resist temptation every single time like Jesus did? And the answer, pretty obviously, for all those who know me is no, I can't do those things and neither can you. It had to be by God's power that any of us would ever be able to live the life that God wants us to live. In the book of Romans, in chapter 7, it describes the problem part where Paul, like all of us, is saying, man, I know what I want to do, but sin just keeps getting in charge of me and I do the things that I wish I didn't do. But then he gets to chapter 8 and he writes some wonderful words talking about how God's power saves us from that problem. And in verse 11, it says this, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Isn't that a wonderful promise to keep hold of? If the same God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, then that power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work in us to help us to live the kind of life that is only possible when Jesus makes it happen on our behalf. And we receive that life from Jesus simply by believing that he is God's Son, that he died in our place and he rose again to give us eternal life. When that happens, God comes and lives inside us and begins changing us to be more like his Son Jesus. So if you're somebody who has accepted life in Jesus, there's a question that we should be asking ourselves. Am I now living the life that only Jesus makes possible? You see, one of the great things about Resurrection Sunday is it reminds us that death is not the end for us. Jesus has defeated death. We have eternal life with God. We'll be in his kingdom forever and ever. There'll be no end to it. But the Bible talks about the confidence that we can have in knowing that we've received that. We see a bit of it happening even now. When we see that God is changing us to be more like Jesus, that's what reminds us that there is a power that only God has, a power that can change me now and a power that can give me eternal life with God forever. So how are we going at experiencing that power? See, like the Israelites, when they got up to the promised land the first time, they could see the good land, but they didn't trust God to be able to give it to them. And so they backed away and they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And I reckon we can be a little bit like that sometimes. Number one, sometimes we don't even bother to look at how good the life is that God's planned for us. We're just kind of wandering around making our own way in life. It's like we're wandering in the wilderness with no idea that there's something better out there. That's reality for many of us. And so one thing the resurrection of Jesus says to us is, hey, pay attention, everybody. This life isn't all there is, and the way you're living this life isn't as good as it gets. There is a better life for you. So just being aware that it's out there is a great start. But the second part is, we've got to know that we can't make it on our own. We've got to trust God to make it possible for us. We've got to trust God to change us. We've got to trust God to bring us into eternal life. So sometimes I know in my life it feels like sin's winning the battle. Like I keep making the same mistakes and I hurt others by the things that I do or the things that I should do that I didn't do. And then I need to remember in those moments, hang on, Mike, let God be in charge of your life. Listen to what he says. Obey him and trust that he'll, by his power, make it possible for you to do what he commands you to do. And when I remember to do that, life changes. Life becomes better, not only for me, but for everyone whom my life touches. That's the power of the resurrection of Jesus. We don't obey God in order to earn his presence with us. We obey God because we have his presence with us. Because it's only as God is with us that we have the power to do the good things that God asks us to do. And that's good for us and for everybody around us. Will you pray with me?